In terms of legal weight, the law that prohibits gays from serving in the U.S. Armed Forces cuts deeper than the administrative policy of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which President Bill Clinton approved in 1993. West Point graduate Becky Canis is a lesbian and was the first female to be made a special operations company commander before leaving the Army so as not to live a double life. Canis says it was the policy, not the underlying law, that hurt most day-to-day during her service.
What I felt like was, on a very regular basis, I was asked very benign questions that aren't about your sexuality per se, but they're just about who you are as a person. So who is important in your life, and where are you going this weekend, and why can't you come with us Wednesday night? And so what I felt was I wasn't able to fully participate in my unit and in the group dynamics because there was always some part of myself that I wasn't able to disclose. And I think that's the part that's, if anything, is corrosive to unit morale. And I think that that's what happens with a lot of gay and lesbian soldiers.
It was a contradiction that Lieutenant Dan Choi, another gay West Point graduate, was willing to live with until he came back from his Army service as an Arabic translator in Iraq and fell in love for the first time. He was 27 years old, and unwilling to pretend anymore, he acknowledged publicly that he is gay, a step known in popular jargon as coming out.
When I told my friends, they told me, why did you wait for so long? We wouldn't have ratted you out, you know, but we just wanted to hang out with this person that was so important to you. We wanted to go bowling together. We want to go to dinners together. You meet my girlfriend or my wife, so why shouldn't I meet your boyfriend? I could have easily told them. But because of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, psychologically and even on a spiritual level, I was so trapped.
Eventually, Choi was asked to leave active duty. His discharge status remains uncertain, but Elaine Donnelly of the Center for Military Readiness, a prominent nonprofit group that opposes gays in the military, says that Choi's trap was of his own making. No one forced him to join the military, and he mustn't expect it to change for him.
The military is not just another equal opportunity employer. It's there to defend the country. It is not there to conduct social experiments. It's not there to try to change human feelings about sexuality. It's not there to try to overcome the normal human desire for modesty in sexual matters. All of those kinds of attempts would be part of trying to integrate homosexuals in the military.
Sarah, a career Army officer who is about to redeploy to Iraq, has kept her long-term lesbian partnership with another officer a secret under Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Yet Sarah says she would not, in fact could not, flaunt their relationship even if the policy were changed.
There's already rules in the military about public displays of affection and fraternization and sexual type conduct in the barracks and in uniform. So I don't buy the argument that it will be a problem. Will some people be offended by it? Certainly. I'm offended by some of the things I see, but I'm not forced to have them in my face, and it would be no different.
All this is a non-issue, says Dan Choi, who believes the younger generation of soldiers are far more accepting of gays and other alternative lifestyles than were their predecessors. Choi says young people tend to focus instead on their comrades' capabilities, not their gender, race, religion, or sexual orientation.
The biggest loss, when we think about it, is not necessarily me being kicked out, but you have to look at the entire unit that now has one less capable soldier, one less Arabic linguist, and it's not just Arabic linguists, it's people who are medical professionals, lawyers, infantrymen, pilots. It goes against some of the tenets that were taught that everybody is important. Everybody is important for the mission, for the team, and to lose somebody is really being just less effective.
But Elaine Donnelly of the Center for Military Readiness says there would also be a huge loss of military personnel if the law prohibiting gays were repealed. She cites the results of a survey of 2,000 servicemen and women conducted by the non-government Military Times newspaper, in which 10% said they would leave the service if homosexuals were allowed to serve openly, and 14% would consider doing so.
When you start losing thousands of people in the all-volunteer force, especially in the mid-level ranks and in occupations that are difficult to replace, such as special operations forces, infantry battalions, submarines, you're doing great harm.
That would be no great loss, says former Army Special Operations Officer Becky Canis, who likens those anti-gay service members to whites who left the service during the 1950s after racial segregation in the military was outlawed. She adds that laws should not be retained or repealed simply because some folks are uncomfortable with them.
And quite frankly, if someone quits their job because they can't deal with working with gay or lesbian people, like, goodbye. Their values are so out of step with what American values are. That's not who I want serving my country anyways.
The controversy continues. President Obama has repeatedly said the don't ask, don't tell policy isn't working, but his administration has yet to announce a change. For now, the future status of gays in the military remains uncertain, while other life issues, marriage, partnership benefits, employment, continue to fuel an urgent and difficult national debate. I'm Adam Phillips, VOA News, New York.